they shook every hand as they gathered in. We were prayer warriors in a world of sin. We sang, there ain't no grave gonna hold me down. And sisters started clapping, then somebody shouted, the spirit would rise and fill the house as the walls came tumbling down. Oh, the walls came tumbling down. Oh, oh, the devil took a beating at Wednesday night prayer meeting. We heard hell by preaching at Wednesday night prayer meeting. Oh, amazing grace fell like the flood, and we all got washed in the blood. That's the way it was at Wednesday night prayer meeting. There's a road to the right and a road to the left. The shadows have fallen and I'm all alone. But there's still a light shining that leads me home. I see the candles here, the windows up, that little church that I love. I still hear it singing on Wednesday night. I'll meet you on the other side. Oh, I'll meet you on the other side. Oh, the devil took a beating at Wednesday night prayer meeting. We heard hellfire preaching at Wednesday night prayer meeting.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning, February 23rd, live from the Radio Ranch. It's a brisk, beautiful Radio Ranch, just starting to get a little sunrise. Got a good bank of clouds to the east and 7 degrees on the thermometer this morning, but it is, winter's on our way out. It ain't going to be around much longer, but good morning, Brother John.
Morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim, from snowy Nebraska.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. We do gather in the name of Jesus Christ for fellowship, to praise Him, to thank Him for all the blessings He gives us, and to have fellowship with one another. That's that truly is an important biblical principle that many people miss, but it is an important thing to do the best you can and to have that Christian fellowship when you can. And that is one of the reasons our pastor put these programs together, and one of the reasons we continue on with them, because they're not only a blessing to us, we get a blessing from it, but we hear from the remnant that they are blessed by tuning in and calling in as well. Well, John, would you open us up in prayer this morning, and then we'll get the phone lines open.
Excuse me. Well, Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord. We're grateful for this time that you set aside for us to be obedient to your word, to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, your word says that when two or more are gathered in your name, then you're there also. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest this morning. Bring your myriads and myriads of angels, Lord, and let them be pleased with the work that your people, those that are called by your name, Lord, those who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, the things that we continue to do to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you found us worthy not only to be called but to be chosen, and with great reward comes great responsibility. Father, help us to realize that each and every one of us, as a true Christian follower of Jesus Christ, as a Jedi, one of Jesus' disciples, has a responsibility to spread the good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that Hebrews 1:14 says that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. And Father, we ask even now that you would send out those ministering angels to prepare those people that you want us to reach, Lord, those that can come to repentance, prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths that you've blessed us with. Father, send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours from all the enemies of God that are all around us. And Lord, send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places. As Father, we are but a few who understand that there are those that are of their father the devil, that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Father, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would be able to discern those things that are designed to destroy your people. So as we come together this morning, Lord, grant us that discernment. Give us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that's important to your people, the remnant. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this quest to come to the place where we are in complete obedience, where we love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Father, we know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And there is a few of us, Lord, who have said over the last several years, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And Lord, you've taken us up on that pledge. We thank you for the opportunity to serve. Lord, we plead that precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over us, so that any of the plans that the enemy have would not have any ill effect on us. Lord, we claim Luke 10:19, that you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. It's in the name above all other names that we claim these promises as the sons of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the provisions that you make for your people. In yes. Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to give a couple little praise reports. I sure appreciate the prayers. Our whole family's been fighting the crud, and it seems like we are sure on the mend. And, you know, when you can actually sleep 4 to 5 hours a night without waking up with a head full of phlegm and not being able to breathe, that's it's not just blowing smoke when you can say, thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. And when you don't have those for several nights, you sure appreciate them when you get them. And so we're sure thankful for the prayers and on the mend. I know that, like Tim and I talked before the program, it seems like this this yuck is rolling everywhere. Whatever the name they have for it, flu or influenza or just what. Just want to encourage everyone to
creeping crud.
Yeah, creeping crud. To stay prayed up, because that is a big part of it as well. And certainly to stay hydrated and to, you know, take your supplements, take your vitamins, and everybody you talk to has all you got to do is this and it'll be cured in an hour, or it'll be cured overnight. There is no hard and fast rule with that. I have learned, not just from this little bout with the crud, but the one thing that does help is prayer. And when our pastor taught, when you don't feel like prayer, you know, when you feel like crud, and you don't feel like praying, that's the time to pray, because that's when it's a sacrifice. And we are to do that. We don't just sit around praying to get better, but we continue in our prayers. And sometimes that can be a time to grow closer to God. When we pray when we don't feel like doing it. So just wanted to share that. And some growth in the office has been good here in the ministry. Growth in the ministry. We've had just Thursday had two new people call in. One had just heard us on the shortwave and was really excited up in upstate New York. So got a chance to talk with that gentleman and explain a few things, and you could tell there was a kindred spirit. We get phone calls throughout the week just for, you know, information or this or that, but it's encouraging, you know, when you have somebody and you talk to them that they've heard the pastor on the shortwave and been listening and been tuning in and want more. You know, that truth resonates with some people, and that's how it was. He was wanting more, and then also had a mother call in with a couple of sons and had questions but a new follower on the web, been listening to messages on the web and watching on Sundays and for about 3 months, and called into the office. And so I just wanted to share that with the remnant. We are adding people weekly, but I wanted to share that with the remnant to let you know that, you know, these broadcasts that we go out, that we send out, the shortwave, the internet, the messages to the phone, the DVD church, the newsletter, they are seeds planted for some. They are. We have not reached everyone, and there are still those out there that are seeking the truth, that are stepping away, that are coming out of my people, that are answering that prayer, and coming out and looking for truth. They're seeing more and more all the lies that are out there, and there are people coming out that are looking for truth, looking for biblical truth. And we need to have that for them. We do. And so that's one of the reasons that we continue on here.
Yeah, and today's day and age too, though, with the way that our food's been destroyed as far as nutritional values and vitamins and all that, I think it's important too that you get some sort of supplement regimen going too.
If
this supplement regimen, Healthy Habits, the company Jason represents that his dad founded, is an excellent source of good quality supplements. I have to admit, I've been kind of run out of some stuff lately, and I can feel the difference. So it's important at least to get some sort of a good vitamin C, I think, especially with everything that's going around these days.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's also more interesting how, you know, the chemtrails used to be a conspiracy theory, but now even these people who used to look at you like you're crazy, they're the ones that are saying, man, did you see this guy the other day? What's going on? And I go, I don't know.
just look up.
Right.
Yeah, it is. But you know, there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to save us from all of the plots of the of man against us. It's the Agenda 2030 is the latest rendition, and they appear to be pulling out all the stops to, no matter what, even if they lose the election in 2020, that they're going to implement their agenda one way or another, whether they have to shove it down our throat. And one of their avenues of accomplishing this, I think there's many facets to the invasion of this country. Obviously, it affects the economy, but it's devastating the health of our people as well.
Yes.
But even right here in Colorado, the ICE detention center this week, they were all excited because there's this measles and mumps outbreak within the ICE detention center, and it's spreading through the workers and from there out. And now the FDA, I just read an article yesterday that the FDA threatens to enforce mandatory vaccination laws countrywide. Federal government set to override state laws, force vaccines amid mainstream media-fueled measles hype. Now, when I was a kid, you know, when you were younger, your parents kind of wanted you to get the measles and to get the mumps and to get
chicken pox
and all that stuff, and just get all that stuff out of your system. And then once you got it, you supposedly would never get it again. But something nobody really talks about either, but here about, must have been 7-8 years ago, they started talking about getting vaccinated for shingles, and that the chicken pox virus lives in your body, and that's what causes the shingles. Well, you know, you used to hear about shingles few and far between, usually in
pretty rare
older people, and it was typically because they allowed their immune system to be depleted, or there was a lot of stress in their lives or something like that.
Right.
But as soon as they started that push for the vaccines for shingles, all of a sudden there was young people having shingles. My wife had shingles, and she said that was probably the most painful thing she ever went through. She'd rather give birth than go through what that the pain of that shingles was. But in reality, think about it, they're putting live viruses into the people, and you know that stuff spreads.
Absolutely.
But now what they're saying is like Pinterest has just taken a stand. I don't know if you know what Pinterest is. It's some stupid thing on social media, but anyways, they've taken a stand now that they're not allowing any content, vaccine pro or negative, until they've just determined how they're going to attack or censor anybody who discredits vaccines. And now good old Adam Schiff there in California, he's just started to push a major agenda with Facebook, where Facebook is now not allowing any dissent in Facebook posts against vaccines. And then since Google bought YouTube is now censored any videos that are negative towards vaccines. Even though just in the last few months there's been abundance of rulings proving that things like autism, things like all kinds of physical and mental disorders can be linked to the vaccines.
Absolutely. Well, and I did a little looking into that too, and one of the things I liked was the fact that Facebook says they're going to censor all posts questioning vaccines. And the human condition is to question things. From the time of birth on, what's the most popular question our children have. Why? We get asked why, but one of the things back in 2014, and we talked about this, there was a major measles outbreak, in 2014 over there, and they did some studies on it. Of course, it wasn't reported in the mainstream media, but 85% of those individuals that were contacting measles were fully vaccinated. And, I did a little looking into it, and I don't have any percentage numbers, but it's interesting that in this California outbreak that they said a great majority of them are vaccinated and still contacting measles. So, the other question I have is, what you were talking about back when we used to try to get that out of the way as a childhood disease or a childhood contact, and get rid of it while our children's immune systems were at a high point and while their energy levels were at a high point, and get it done and gone, and they developed immunity to it as a result of that. But the word that they used back then with the vaccine was, oh, it's eradicated, it's gone. And, eradicated means totally disappeared. So either that was a lie, or we have a new strain that that there's no immunity to, or so another question of why, and it, we question things like that. Amen. I think that's the way God made us,
Amen.
Well, I think we did eradicate most of these diseases. In fact, when I grew up, there was a lot of measles and chickenpox, and you even, if you heard of, little Jimmy down the road had chicken pox, you're like, hey, can I bring my kids? Our parents were like, can I bring my kids over and get them exposed to that and get it out of their system, But now, at least in the last, probably 10 years ago, you didn't hear much about it either. You didn't hear much about mumps or chicken pox or measles or any of that. But now I think, like I said, it's a multifaceted attack upon the people in the United States regarding bringing these diseases in from third world countries.
It is, and the other diseases that these invaders bring in. You'll see these outbreaks, whether it's chakra or these exotic flus that are only found in third world countries. Or the antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis that's made a huge comeback. They have, if you want to go work in the hospital now, you have to have 2 skin tests for tuberculosis to work in the hospital. Now, it's not that you have it, but it's so that they can, they're setting baselines because they are seeing such an influx in the emergency rooms, in the hospitals, and it's not domestic grown, it's from these invaders. We've carried a book called Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. Ministry's carried it, 30 years probably, since he put it out. We still have a few left. We've got them on sale, and I know reading that was a turning point in my life, a growing point when it comes to the AMA, the American Medical Association, and the true conspiracy that goes on there, and certainly these vaccines are a big part of it. So, Remnant, we still providing truth for you. This book, Murder by Injection, by the late Eustace Mullins. If you don't have it, it is one that you need to have, and it covers. It covers the medical monopoly, fluoridation, the profits of cancer, death and vaccination, AIDS, the actions of fertilizer, and so much more. It was written back in a time when knowledge was, this knowledge was a little more commonplace. It's all but disappeared now. And, you know, while we're on vaccinations, Pastor did a little booklet and has two CDs out on it called Warning, Vaccinations Are Dangerous to Your Health. And if you're a new parent, you're wanting to be a parent, a grandparent that's concerned, we encourage you to get this booklet, to read through it. And we've got a little packet going on now, the booklet and the both CDs and a little proclamation on vaccination that we have sent hundreds out. And but they do a good job of showing you biblically, you know, why these are not, they are not for us. They just aren't. And Jason had found a great new book. We're offering it as well. It's the latest book we've added. And it's on vaccines, autoimmunity, and the changing nature of childhood illnesses. And it talks about these as well. It's written by a medical doctor, Dr. Cohen. And again, it's a great book on this subject.
Yes.
We need to be educated in these matters. We do, and not like
my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, absolutely. And you know, we have people that know the batting averages and the passing averages of these sports idols, and you know when and where these Hollywood idols were born and what high school they went to and what kind of car they drive and all this stuff, and you know that might be kind of neat to know now, but it ain't going to help you none. It's really not. What we're talking about here is real knowledge. It really is. And so we encourage you, not trying to sell books, but trying to get this knowledge out to the remnant. We encourage you to get this knowledge and to read it and to apply it.
There's an actual push going on right now, too, to imprison doctors who grant parents vaccine exemptions for their children. And the ironic, well, actually the lunacy of this whole thing is that what they say is that, well, you have these children that go to the public schools that aren't vaccinated, and they're putting these children that are vaccinated at risk.
Right.
Really? Well, here, for one, the ones who aren't vaccinated are the ones who typically... They're not just dumb sheep. Their parents may have learned something over the years, or there's a reason why that they don't vaccinate their children. And, you know, in reality, if they were so worried about that the people who weren't vaccinated were going to spread the, you know, to the people who are vaccinated, that's stupidity in itself. But the fact is, if that's really going to take out, you know, destroy these people, then why wouldn't they want us to stay unvaccinated so that all of these diseases that they say are going to wipe us out, wipe out the ones who understand that there is an enemy that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, that does the work of their father, the devil? Well, we know why. Because they want to inject us with those diseases. And a lot of those stay dormant for years. You know, I'm sad to say that I was from a generation where they did vaccinate, and I was vaccinated. And who's to say that, you know, those things don't lay dormant until whatever time, and then, you know, show their ugly head. But, you know, I obviously believe that the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can thwart any of the plans of the enemy, whether it's immediate or 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Amen.
But if you think about the lunacy of their reasoning, it's pretty comical. And then when you talk to people who are just, you know, totally for vaccines and stuff, and you explain to them, you say, well, really, what threat is it if I decide not to vaccinate my children to your children if they're vaccinated? Because you're telling me that those vaccines will keep your children from getting these diseases. And then they look at you like, I thought of that before. Just go along with what the media tells me.
Yep, it is another idol. It is another false god that that the people look to for health, safety, and welfare. You know, it is. Well, my doctor said we got to do this, so that's it. I remember when my 20-year-old was a newborn, and we had him in for a checkup, and the doctor said that, well, we'll get him started on a round of vaccinations. And I said, doctor, we've decided as his parents not to vaccinate. The arms crossed. Oh, really? And why is that? And we talked for about 15 minutes.
Put him on the list.
Right. We talked for about 15 minutes, and I told him, I said, you know, we've seen of these adverse side effects. We live a healthy lifestyle. We eat clean. We do, you know, what we can. And I said, can you guarantee me? Can you write a letter and sign it and guarantee me that there'll be no adverse side effects to these, you know, number of vaccines that you're wanting to inject my son with? Well, no. You know, sometimes there's these. But if you could see, you know, if you had seen what I've seen in, you know, and see, there is no guarantee. There is no, but that's what these people are looking for. And that's what they put this blind faith and blind trust in. Well, the doctor said it. See, that takes the responsibility off them, off the parents. Well, the doctor this, the doctor that. And, you know, it's the responsibility of parents to pray for their children, to guide and direct them, to help them and hopefully teach them to eat healthy and to lead a clean, godly lifestyle. And, you know, that has a big impact of whether, you know, as parents, whether they do that or not. Versus just blindly, you know, going along with whatever the doctor says. And, you know, the adverse effects, you know, autism comes to mind. You can't talk about vaccines without autism. But, hey, we got the phone lines ringing, so let's take a break from this, and we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, brothers, this is Patrick from Minnesota.
Well, good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Patrick,
how are you? Awesome. I got a little bit of that creepy crud myself, but I'm on the vitamin D3 that I got from the ministry, so seems to work pretty good.
Well, good. Well, good. Well, Patrick, I know you had mentioned earlier this week about a big, what was it? Was it a pro-gun rally? Or I didn't understand. You had mentioned it, but it sounded pretty interesting. Is that something you guys are attending today?
Yeah, we have called a rally to defend the Second Amendment. You know, here in Minnesota, we don't have a Second Amendment in our Constitution, so we're all at the mercy of the federal government. So, you know, in Minnesota, they can basically pass whatever law that they want to, and if it's unconstitutional, of course, it's, you know, they say, well, you know, you can take us to court if you don't like the law. Well, you know, if it comes down to gun confiscation, and they come around and they take your guns, and then if it's overturned by the Supreme Court later on, don't think that, you know, don't think you're going to get your guns back. You know, they're going to be long gone. So so we're kind of passionate about our Second Amendment rights up here in Minnesota. We got a lot of, you know, we got our liberals running our government, but, you know, Minnesota's a very pro-gun state.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
We're going to need them because Muslims taking over.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
Goes back, even if it's not written in your amendment, Patrick, at least you know, the most important thing is it's a God-given right to defend yourself that supersedes all of those things. And then, you know,
absolutely.
That's right. You know, we're told to go out and buy a sword, and, you know, like Pastor said, you know, that's a military style defense weapon. You know, we were supposed to have that, and so that's, you know, our God given right. You know, and, you know, yeah, we don't have firearms. This is so, you know, so we could go out and rob people and, you know, and steal from others. You know, those firearms are there to protect our family.
Amen.
You know when Jesus or when Peter cut the ear off of that servant, the high priest servant, and Jesus says, you know, put it away. He said, put it away. He didn't say throw it away. You know, don't have one. He says, just put it away. So.
Yep.
Right. That was not the time.
Not the time.
That was amen. Amen. That was not the time for it. Well, awesome. Patrick, you'll have some fellow believers there as well, if I understand. So it sounds like it's going to be a good day of fellowship for you guys as well.
That's right. We got one of the brothers on the ministry. He's going to the rally too, and luckily, it's all going to be indoors. We got a snowstorm coming on the way, and just want to pray to the Lord that he kind of holds that off till after the rally. There's going to be people coming from all over the state. They think it's probably going to be the biggest rally that we've ever had. Our governor here unveiled his new budget yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to read what's in it totally, but he's within the budget. He's got a gun confiscation funding that not only are they going to come and take our firearms, or we're going to pay for it. So they're going to hopefully this is turn into a big fight up here. So we do have the Senate, and that's not to say that we ought to be trusted in our conservative Republican senators and legislators. We trust in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the good news is there's an awful lot of sheriffs and people in law enforcement that have the laws of God written on their heart that supersedes the laws of man. And I've talked to several sheriffs, local sheriffs, and state troopers, and even local police officers, and their bottom line is they're not going to obey an order to confiscate weapons. That'll be the last day that they serve, and they'll side with the people. So we got to believe that too. That I think those that are for us, are obviously according to the Bible, are greater than those that are against us, as long as Jesus Christ is their head.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Pastor taught that. God has his men positioned in all places just for those eventualities. He really does. And it is all is not lost. He still has his 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee, and you can't look at them and pick them out. So praise the Lord. Well, Patrick, thanks so much for calling and sharing that. We got another caller here, we will keep you in prayer. I hope you guys have a safe trip and a good rally and a good day of fellowship. And I know you guys are there not just pro gun, but to share the gospel. And I know you guys look for opportunities to do that. And that's encouraging. And we thank you for that.
Well, thanks, brothers.
All right,
brother. You guys have a good day and a good weekend. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Patrick. God bless. Thanks.
God bless.
All right. Well, we do have another phone call here. We'll jump to that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Good morning, men.
Morning, Joe.
Praise God.
Morning, Joe.
He is good. I was, back in the 80s, I joined a number of conservative groups, and eventually ended up on a member of the Populist Party in the state of New Jersey. And there was a tremendous upswelling of discontent back then. And it streamed pretty much from Massachusetts, Boston area, into New York City, believe it or not, and down into places like southern New Jersey, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. I remember going to Philadelphia, seeing the crowds of people. It seemed like a powder keg was building. And then along came, I think it was in 95, the Oklahoma City smokescreen there. Took people's mind away from just about everything, and everything that I was involved with kind of fizzled out and went back into the shadows a little bit. I don't know if you remember that. You're from a different part of the country, but the Populist Party was splintered. They went to court. The bad guys won. State organizations just basically dried up and blew away. And we were left with nothing, basically, except Ross Perot. And I remember that. And even the John Birchers kind of got scared. And booksellers packed up and moved away. And yeah. Along came the Internet. Back in 95, it was still pretty much a novelty to have everybody have computers and be linked in and everything to everyone else. I guess it was around like 15 years later that a different generation of so-called patriot, and I quickly learned what the word patriot was, the PAY-TRIOT. They're basically clip 'em and run type of an organization. It's the Carto cartel. I know you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that. But around 2010, I guess it was a really strong undertow of discontent with a different generation. It was like a 10-year split, and the baby boomers were looking towards retirement, and they were getting tired, and they were saying, and I remember hearing him say this. I said, "Well, I did my bit. It's time for younger blood," and I believe that was basically a pre-programmed response, pretty much done by TV, and the advent of conservative AM talk radio. That was all coming on, and lo and behold, here comes this guy named Alex Jones, a government shill if there ever was one. I can't stand the guy no more. I used to hear him a little bit on shortwave, and then when he really got his backing on the internet, then he started getting really rambunctious and just shooting off in all directions. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say. We got to pray for the younger generation that they see from a biblical perspective. And there's a lot of guys out there that are, they're at one point they're skeptics, and on another level they are just outright anti-Christian.
So, amen. The other thing we got to do is be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Mm-hmm.
The most foolish thing you can do is to flaunt what you have and
right.
Post about what you have. We need to be silent and not play our hand until the proper time. There's things that are worth fighting for, and that's why it's so important that you can hear ye the Lord to know when is the proper time to expose your hand and to use force if necessary, and not before, and not even a hint before.
Right.
So true. Yeah. All right, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
All
right, bye now.
Going back to the vaccine thing, I don't know if you saw this. I saw this, it was several weeks ago, and I meant to bring it up, and I just somehow it slipped by. But the Golden Globe Awards, not that I watched them, obviously, but I did see some highlights from it. What was interesting was they had a skit, I think towards the end of the program, that basically was forced vaccinations. So they had some of these actors, and quite a few nurses and things like that, and they basically said that, well, we're going to administer flu shots tonight, and if any of you anti-vaxxers are out there, just put your napkin over your head in shame, basically, and we'll pass by you, you know. No retribution, no judgment. And, I mean, literally, if you watch the video clip, they came down off the stage, took off, like, this coat or whatever they had on, you know, had, like, nurses' outfits and whatever else, and just went through the audience, and these Hollywooders, in, I guess it took place in California, they're, you know, just taking off their sport coats or pulling off their shawls or whatever, and they're just mass vaccinating the crowd. Well, the good news is it was Hollywood, but the bad news is, you know, obviously what they were trying to do was to shame anyone who would dare come against the mandate of the establishment. So, I mean, that's pretty significant if you think about it, especially to a young mind. And sadly,
yes,
parents allow their kids to watch this trash.
But, and they,
you know, that
they want to be that way.
There's a group. They realize that there's a group of people who have said no to the one world, new world order way of thinking. And just here recently in Colorado, you know, they're passing laws, because we lost the House, the Senate, and the governorship. They're passing laws that affect not only the public schools anymore. They're not happy with that. They know that there's a growing number of parents that are becoming educated and not wanting to perish for lack of knowledge, maybe understanding what Hosea 4:6 says. And they're pulling their kids out, whether it's putting them in private Christian schools or whether it's homeschooling them. But they're making these laws now where the exemptions that used to be in place for Christian and private schools and even homeschoolers, if they can find you, if you have a homeschool group or something that may be registered or whatever it is, that they're no longer exempt from these things. So, you know, this is war. There's,
right.
There's
yeah,
an attack.
Yeah, they're actually targeting those
children.
Groups. Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that...
Not only the vaccine stuff, but the homosexual stuff. I mean, this, you know, when you got people talking about laws and bills that are being passed in your state legislation that you can't even mention on radio because there may be young children in the cars, that's pathetic.
Yeah, it is. Well, and it occurs to me that, you know, this battle's as old as the garden, as they say, because when you go back to that, you look at the scribes and the Pharisees who were aligned against Christ. I mean, they pulled out all the stops, and he condemned them. I mean, you can read about it. Woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, and he talks about all of their situations. But, you know, they changed their name. They're still there. They're still here. The scribes are Main Street, or, you know, Main Street, mainstream media, and Hollywood, and the newspapers are dead. So we used to say reporters, but it looks like Prince pretty much gone the way of the dodo. And the Pharisees are the politicians and the people who... you know, just want to make laws and lay that heavy yoke and that heavy burden upon the people. If you look at the descriptions and then go back and look at where we're at today and who they are, they're not hard to find. You can locate those wolves that are out there among the sheep, and they're still here, and they're still doing the same thing they were doing during Christ's time, you know, as far as the destruction
we've known
sort of things.
We've known for some time that Larimer County here, real close to where the church is, and where most of us local live in that county, has been a test bed for Agenda 21 and now Agenda 30. And here about 10 years ago or so, there was this thing called chronic wasting disease that was introduced by... I believe it was in the labs at Colorado State University that wildlife escaped from testing facilities and got out into the wild. It's accidentally observed. But anyways, and also a whirling disease, they called it, that were in the fish.
Yes.
But you know, back then it was a conspiracy theory that, well, they're trying to kill off the game and the fish so that when they try to take over the country, that there's no way to feed yourself off the land. And it was a conspiracy theory for a long time. But now there's proof, basically, that the CDC has been covering up transmissibility of deer and elk zombie apocalypse to humans in Colorado and Wyoming. So, you know, here over the last 5 years, I've been asking about it, and everybody's saying, well, yeah, I think they got a handle on that. They weeded out all of the animals that were infected, this and that. I don't believe that to be true at all. In fact, I think it's exponentially grown. But what they've done is, it used to be that you couldn't even, once you harvested an animal, you had to take the brain or the head or whatever to one of these facilities and have it tested for chronic wasting disease before you ate the meat. Well, all of a sudden, you know, now they're saying that the disease has been eradicated more or less in for years now, I think probably at least 5 years, you haven't had to take the brain or the head to have it examined before you eat the meat. So what have they done? In a lot of ways, I think that they're spreading these diseases, which they said were not transmittable to humans, through humans, as well as eradicating the source of food in the event of having to live off the land. I mean, it sounds all conspiracy theory, but, you know, the interesting thing is the people who used to think that we were crazy with the conspiracy theories that we had, now that they've come true, they have a different line of thought.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they continue to show themselves to be, you know, it's like, just give it some time and you're going to find out that this is the case. I mean, and I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of that, they're talking about that being a form of mad cow disease. And, you know, the mad cow disease was basically a violation when it started of God's law. They were feeding sheep manure to those cows, trying to, you know, cut their cost. Oh, is that what it was about? You know, and...
well, they were feeding carcasses, too. They were grinding up cow carcasses and feeding them to them.
Yeah. And we all know cows, they're not carnivores.
No.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that cow disease is part of what this, I think, their goal is as well. You know, you got wildlife that obviously intermingles with the herds of cattle and things. And that's, I think, their ultimate goal is just to wipe out the food source.
Well, how much better of a way to reduce population? And they're still forecasting a major, in the USA, a major depopulation of the United States by 2025. That's one of their big, you know, finance. So, which ties back into what you were talking about, John, as far as the initiatives that they're seeking to do to destroy things. And wasn't it Denver just passed it's okay to go to the bathroom in public places or all that? That just passed within the last week or so. They were talking about that. And, you know, that ties back into Deuteronomy 23:14, where it says that the Lord God walks in the midst of our camp to deliver us and defeat your enemies before you. Therefore, your camp must be holy, and he must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you. And they know about Second Chronicles, and they know about Deuteronomy 23:14. The real question is, do God's people know about those things?
And, you know? And the answer, Tim, is no, they don't. They don't. You know, there again, but they can tell you, how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has been in and what kind of car he drives and all about his girlfriend. You know, those, that important stuff. That's what our people know about these days. You know, they can tell you who's going to, the odds of the next Super Bowl and all this other sports false idol crap. But no, they don't know. Our people don't know. But our enemy knows. Our enemy knows, you know. You know, right along with that, they've read about all this the millions that San Francisco is having to pay for these homeless and how they're pooping in the streets, and it's just all over the place. And Denver says, bring it here. We want it here, too. We'll pass a law that says it's okay to do that. And they welcome. They welcome the wrath of God in there. They do. John, didn't Fort Collins get a women's topless deal passed where it's okay for the women to walk around without a shirt as well? Didn't that pass this past year?
Yeah, I think that was last summer.
You know, and it
didn't take very large swath of people, thank goodness. But yeah, I mean, and then you look at what Vermont did just here yesterday. You know, basically passed abortion at will for any reason at any time, even up until the time of birth. And a lot of that's got to do with, I think, trying to harvest parts intact. You know, and if a child is actually born and they kill it, then they got a better chance of harvesting the parts without damaging them. So.
Yeah,
that's where we're at in the world.
It is,
you know,
indecent.
Choose ye this day who shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord. And as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, got some teaching along those lines in our latest Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 1. Should have it already, and the online's been sent out. So. If you haven't got it, contact us. We'll be glad to send you one. But it really is. It's a time to choose between heaven and hell. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to be a slave to? Sin or Christ? And it's time. Well, guys, we are out of time. Do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Good Lord willing, and it don't freeze too much harder. We'll be there. And starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, we encourage you to come and join us. For fellowship, for praise, for worship, for learning and about God and growing closer to Him and gaining tools and knowledge that will help all of us in our walk and in our Christian life. So we encourage you to come there. John, looking forward to your live message. And boy, last week's with Colonel Moore, pray for the salvation of America. Oh my gosh, that was... encouraging. Had to watch it from home, but it was encouraging. And so we do invite you to come to church with us. You can do that at scriptures4america.org. Again, guys, thanks. God bless. Have a great weekend. And we'll
down
see you.
In the heat of the battle.
We'll see you at church
tomorrow.
He may
tomorrow. Get me down here and get me low. But brothers and sisters, He can't keep me down because I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I remember a time I was sure by now that you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls,